Hello, and welcome to the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections podcast called Lockup Lowdown. The goal of this podcast is to provide listeners with information pertaining to all aspects of corrections, one issue or one topic at a time. I'm your host, DOC Communications Director Susan McNaughton. Today we are joined by Shays Werver, who is a Community Engagement Coordinator for the Pennsylvania Department of Conservation and Natural Resources. And she's going to talk to us about several projects that she has with two of our state prisons. Thank you for joining us, Shay.
Thanks for having me, Susan.
Before we get started, Shay, could you please provide our listeners with a brief educational unemployment history?
Yes. I started my current position about 3 years ago, working with the Pennsylvania Department of Conservation and Natural Resources within their Bureau of Forestry. Before that, I had worked for the Nature Conservancy in New Jersey. I worked for the Penn Institute for Urban Research out of University of Pennsylvania, at the Morris Arboretum, which is in Philadelphia, the Pennsylvania Horticulture Society, which is also based out of Philadelphia. I worked for Aramark, the food service provider at the University of Virginia within sustainability, and then also at the environmental nonprofit Green Blue in Charlottesville, Virginia, and the Anthropology, which is a retail company out of Charlottesville, Virginia. All my positions have combined, you know, the people and the environment in some aspect, which is what I tried to do through my academic background. I have a Bachelor's of Arts in Psychology with a minor in Landscape Studies from Smith College, which is in Western Massachusetts, and I pursued my Master's of Environmental Studies at University of Pennsylvania and finished that up in January of 2013.
Wow, very impressive. Well, thank you again for joining us. All right, so let's talk about recently on October 16th, there was a graduation held on the grounds of SCI Huntington that had to do with riparian buffers. Can you tell us and our listeners, what are riparian buffers? Why are they important? And tell us about your work with our inmates.
Yes, that was a great event. I'll first start with a little definition about what riparian forest buffers are. And essentially they are trees, shrubs, or grasses that are planted along streams or waterways that play an important part in maintaining the health of our waterways. So in Pennsylvania, we have a lot of agricultural production, especially within kind of the south central area. And when you have agriculture fields and they, you know, butt up against streams or waterways and people are applying fertilizers or pesticides to help with crop production and yield, sometimes, and when it rains, those fertilizers or pesticides, you know, they'll drain into the nearest stream or waterway. And then there's the Chesapeake Bay watershed is a watershed that runs kind of right through the middle of Pennsylvania. It encompasses, you know, a lot of different counties, but essentially the Chesapeake Bay watershed will drain into the Chesapeake Bay. Pennsylvania is, you know, a big polluter of the Chesapeake Bay for that reason when fertilizers or pesticides, you know, get into streams or waterways and then eventually make their way down to the Chesapeake Bay. So the state, Department of Conservation and Natural Resources, along with Department of Agriculture, are, you know, doing a lot of planning around these riparian forest buffers to help with water quality. So when these riparian forest buffers get planted along streams or waterways, that those can help uptake a lot of pollutants before, like pollutants in the sense of, you know, nitrogen or phosphorus or sediment from those fertilizers, and they'll help take those pollutants up before they get into the streams or waterways. So recently the state, Pennsylvania, we came up with a plan to, or a goal to plant 86,000 acres of riparian forest buffers within the Chesapeake Bay watershed to help with water quality, you know, issues that are impacting the Chesapeake Bay. So that's essentially what a riparian forest buffer is. And on October 16th was the culmination of a 14-week vocational training we did at Huntington SCI with their community work crew. So there were 20 participants in this. We called it the Riparian Forest Buffer Maintenance Vocational Training. And essentially, the training taught these 20 participants everything from, you know, farming 101, so how agriculture production can impact water quality. We taught them about stream ecology, like what healthy streams looked like. We talked about aquatic macroinvertebrates, which is just, you know, bugs that you see within a stream and how certain bugs you see can indicate the water quality of that stream. Also about trees that you, tree identification and plant identification, tree selection and plant selection. So which tree species would you want to plant in these riparian forest buffers? Mm-hmm. But the 14-week training culminated on October 16th with an actual planting of a riparian forest buffer. And what was neat is Huntington owns some property, and some of that property is leased to a farmer where agricultural production is taking place. And on that acreage, there was a stream. And so that was kind of our outdoor classroom over the 14 weeks. So we helped plan out what the riparian forest buffer would look like. The guys picked tree and shrub species they wanted to see planted. And then on October 16th, we actually planted, so 400 tree seedlings and shrubs over 2 acres.
Wow, that's really interesting. So essentially, it's an environmental filter.
Mm-hmm.
So yes. Are there certain plants and shrubs then that would thrive better in that kind of environment then, with all the phosphorus and nitrate and stuff that you were talking about? I mean, are there certain plants that are better than others in that kind of a setting?
Yes, and there's some that are, you know, better at taking up pollutants, but mostly we look at the environment that they're going to, like the context they'll be planted in. So if we're looking along a stream, you know, we need to pick plants that are going to be good with wet feet. So how well is it that area floods a little bit, you know, when there's a heavy rainfall, will they do well, you know, with having maybe some standing water? Like, will their roots, which, you know, we call their feet, essentially be okay, you know, with it, if there, you know, some pockets of water sitting there for a little bit. So we planted species such as dogwoods, elderberry, oaks. We had sycamores. So those are some species that do well on those riparian forest buffers.
Nice. So actually, we're going to see a transformation of that area, which is great, and it'll make everything mm-hmm. healthy for the Chesapeake Bay, which is really great. So tell me how you witnessed the inmates transform throughout this whole process as well. Some of these people are from the cities and have never actually, you know, really been in a rural area and certainly have never worked with plants and bugs. Tell me what that experience was like for you and the inmates involved.
Yes, it was so great. And it's interesting because at Huntington, at this program, the Correctional Employment Vocational Coordinator, Tina Hicks Kern, who we worked with at Huntington, she signed up, you know, helped enlist these 20 community work crew participants in the program. Mm-hmm. Whereas in the past where we worked at Rockview's forestry camp, you know, doing other programming, which I can talk about later, they'll have a sign-up sheet and people will voluntarily sign up. And so it's kind of interesting to see how these two programs worked when you get people who voluntarily sign up versus people, you know, who were kind of enlisted. And it was so neat to see. Some of the guys were expressing, you know, at the end we discussed how they enjoyed the program, you know, if there was anything they would have liked to learn that they didn't. And all of them were talking about how they might not have signed up for this class because, you know, one, not many people know what a riparian forest buffer is. And so just not being familiar with that, you know, could turn people off from signing up. And also just if, you know, they're not interested in environmental topics. So by them being signed up, they, you know, were so grateful, and it was amazing to see a lot of them, yeah, being from, you know, urban areas and cities, hadn't planted a tree. And so the one day we did a tree planting demonstration on how to properly, you know, plant a tree, at what depth, and how to loosen up the soil around it. And some of them, you know, we said, how many of you, was this your first time planting a tree? And about half the participants raised their hand. And that was meaningful in itself. And that day, I'll never forget, we were walking away from planting the trees, and one of the gentlemen was just speaking out loud, and he had said, oh, I kind of forgot where I was for a minute. And I took that as, that's so neat if someone could forget, you know, that they were maybe at prison. And given we were outside in this forest, so, you know, you didn't have that physical visual of being in a prison, but for them to just forget that, you know, where they were for a minute was really neat.
Right.
And so many of them, I mean, and even at the end of the class, a lot of them still didn't really like all the bugs, but they did, I think their tolerance did grow a little bit. So, and the one day we were standing there and a little baby snake, like a garter snake, had just, you know, was like around our feet, and we pointed it out, and some of them, you know, jumped and were really scared of it. But I think it was neat over time. We were actually like, we went to a few riparian forest buffers that were planted in Huntington and Mifflin County. Mifflin County is just the next door county, the neighboring county to Huntington. And we went out to some of those buffer sites so that the guys could get hands-on experience and also see, you know, what a riparian forest buffer looks like maybe 3 years out or 5 years out. So, and ones that were of varying qualities of maintenance. So ones that have been maintained really well, and then also ones that maybe were a little overgrown, because we were showing, you know, it is really important for these riparian forest buffers to operate, you know, in a optimal way. You know, they need to be maintained. And by maintained, I mean, you know, where there's not a lot of invasive plant species taking over, or grass is growing up and, you know, kind of suffocating the trees, because the trees and the grasses will compete for nutrients and water. But by going out into those, you know, in the very beginning, we were, when they had seen that snake and it startled them, we were then going out in knee-high grasses, you know, going and doing invasive plant species removal, and they were completely comfortable with doing that. So over time, their tolerance, you know, grew, and they really enjoyed being outdoors. And they, I also noticed a lot of them, as they, this was over the course of 14 weeks, and so, you know, and the three of us instructors, so Ryan Davis, who's with the Alliance for Chesapeake Bay, myself, and Teddy Stark, who's my colleague at DCNR, we were tried to be there every week, in addition to maybe having, you know, instructors come in who were the experts on the topic that was being taught that week.
Great.
But they, I think by having that consistency, the three of us there, they really opened up over the 14 weeks. And some of them, you know, when we had a little graduation ceremony on October 16th, they, each one of them, you know, they didn't have to say anything if they didn't want to share, but each one of them shared a little bit of how their experience went. And it was so nice to hear, you know, from each one, and some of them, and they were laughing about, you know, the encounters with the snake or the bugs they had, or the, you know, just how they were able to identify, you know, what a right, like right versus wrong when it comes to biodiversity and plants, and also identifying plants now, and just sharing how they're going to take that knowledge, and, you know, when they go home and see their kids, they're going to pass that on. And so it was really neat to see their transformation just opening up verbally over
right.
the time too.
And that's one thing I was going to ask you too, is the fact that 90% of our inmates are going to go home one day, and I was up there for the graduation as well, and some of these guys are very close to parole. Can you tell us and our listeners, how can these individuals then use the information they learned over this 14-week course once they're released from prison?
Yes, and I'm glad you brought that up. That was one of, you know, the reasons behind having this training, was that those of us that work in this area, you know, conservation and natural resources, specifically, you know, riparian forest buffers, with all these goals to plant out more riparian forest buffers in Pennsylvania, they're noticing that there's a big demand for individuals, but also for companies who can conduct such work. So there are some companies, you know, that are doing tree plantings, but not a lot of people out there or companies that are doing the riparian forest buffer maintenance. So going out and actually mowing or weed whacking around the trees and shrubs that have been planted, or you know, spraying for invasive plant species to help, I guess, you know, mitigate the competition that the trees and shrubs that are planted have to face. And so that was kind of the reason behind why we did this training, is because we want, you know, we're trying to get, create this workforce pipeline. So get more individuals and more people who might want to start small businesses in this field, getting, you know, empowering them to do that. And one of the courses we held was a small business basics and entrepreneurship, because part of the reason is we want to empower some of these individuals to go out and create their own companies if they want in this field, because, you know, we were demonstrating to them that there's a need for it.
Mm.
So by some of them participating in it, yeah, we hope that they'll go out and get jobs in this field and industry, or start their own company, you know, doing this maintenance.
Nice.
And that was kind of why we did this training specifically. And a lot of them did express a lot of interest, you know, had a lot of questions around how to create a business plan and, you know, tax write-offs for doing this, and, you know, working with landowners and farmers where you might plant these riparian forest buffers.
Excellent. Now, I also want to talk to you about Rockview, but before I get there, I just wanted to ask you, what's next for Huntingdon? Because when we were up there for the graduation of this latest course, you had mentioned something about a course on seeds. Is that in the works?
Yes. Yes, and we're so excited to do that. We, as I mentioned before, we planted about 400, it was 400 tree seedlings and shrubs along those 2 acres at Huntingdon. And Huntingdon has a couple greenhouses. And I think historically they'll use them for like annual flower production or vegetable production to, you know, help landscaping around the institution itself. But we thought about, we could start utilizing one of the greenhouses is growing stock, like plant stock, for, you know, these future riparian forest buffers trainings that are going to be held at Huntingdon. So what's really neat is this idea with the riparian forest buffer, you know, this first course that we just piloted, is that not only did this first cohort of participants get to plant, you know, over these 2 acres, but there's more acres we could help plant out, but also the future classes can help maintain the 2 acres that we planted this year on October 16th. And the seed workshop that we hope to do is, we've been collecting seeds, and now is a great time where you can start storing the seeds over winter, and then in the spring germinate them, so that we can start growing our own plant stock that can then we can turn around and use out at these riparian forest buffers, the one on Huntingdon. So not only will the seed workshop help, you know, teach people some nursery skills or trade skills that they could use like in the landscaping and horticulture vocations or industries, but also it's a way to help make the program itself, the riparian forest buffer vocational training, more sustainable, because they'll have their own plant stock for future programs.
Wow, that's fantastic. Really exciting. Okay, so let's talk about Rockview and the forestry camp there. So about a year or so ago, I think I met you up there. We were having a little preview for the local media on an arboriculture training or course for inmates up there. Tell us about that. How did that get started? What's the goal, and what's the status of that program up there?
Yes, that was the first program that we piloted. That was in 2017, fall of 2017. And similar to the riparian forest buffer vocational training, the arboriculture, which is also your urban forestry or, you know, tree worker, tree care industry, how it got started was that the tree care industry is experiencing a high demand for workers, and that's across the nation, not just in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania does have one of the highest employment rates for tree workers, and the Bureau of Labor Statistics, they define tree workers as like tree trimmers or tree pruners, but essentially people can think of anybody you hire to, you know, go up in a tree and remove some limbs that might be dead and hanging over, you know, your roof or your a sidewalk, or anybody who's doing utility line clearance, or even managing for pests and diseases. If, you know, a pest comes in, like an insect, and is going to cause harm to a tree, you know, you can help prepare for that through pest management. So because the industry is experiencing a demand for workers, that was also emphasis for doing this arboriculture training program at Rockview's forestry camp. And the forestry camp is the perfect location to be doing such a training program, because it's really neat that Rockview has a lot of acreage, and a lot of that acreage is, and the land cover is wooded and forested. So out of the 72 inmates that are housed at the forestry camp, a lot of them are going out onto that, you know, land into the forest and the wooded lots, and they're doing forest management in a sense already. Mm-hmm. So they're gaining a lot of hands-on experience. So the training that we did just complements and gives them an educational foundation for that hands-on experience they're already gaining. And the International Society of Arboriculture, it's an internationally recognized credentialing program, and they have about 8 different certifications. And one of the first and main ones is the Certified Arborist Certification. It's a highly marketable certification for anybody that wants to work in the tree care industry. And the idea was, let's do this training. We'll teach them, you know, how the same topics and subjects that anybody going, you know, preparing to be a certified arborist would learn. And so the ISA has study guidebooks, and there's one for the certified arborist. And the different chapters lay out different subjects. So you'll have tree biology, and, you know, you'll learn about tree management, whether it's water management or soil nutrition, tree selection. You'll learn about pruning techniques. And so essentially every topic or subject that we taught at the forestry camp aligned with one of the chapters in that study guidebook. Mm. So we started out, you know, and we tried to build upon it. So the first class was like tree biology. And then we talked about the benefits of trees, was even a precursor to the tree biology. And that was, we piloted that in the fall of 2017. And after hearing from some of the inmates, you know, we'd really like to get more hands-on climbing experience. So in the fall of 2018, we did a tree climbing school, and Penn State Extension helped with this. They had an instructor come in, and we did a tree climbing school where the guys were able to get up, you know, on trees on the forestry camp property and, you know, get up into harnesses and use the ropes and learn how to tie knots specific for tree climbing. And we've just been slowly building on that for the last 2 years. So since then, we've done a game of logging, which is a chainsaw safety course. We did a pesticide applicator course, which teaches the best, you know, the basics of how to properly apply pesticides. And we hear that a lot from companies, too. Companies have been expressing, you know, within the industry, they say, you know, we really need people or workers, potential employees that have, you know, that know about pesticide application, about safe pesticide application. And so we brought instructors in to teach that. We also did a seed workshop there recently, just in the beginning of October here. And so it's been neat to see the evolution of that program. And then also, you know, going to Huntington, doing the riparian forest buffer one made more sense there because they don't have so much land that's forested, but they have streams and on a, you know, a farmland. So
right.
Each program is kind of tailored to the different institutions.
That is neat. Now, what other plans do you have perhaps for some of our other state prisons? Do you have any?
Not yet, but we are excited to expand. And we did receive, because we've seen success with some of these programs, so some of the, you know, inmates are, that have gotten out, that have participated in the program, they've gotten jobs in the industry. I know of 4 out of, you know, the 24 at the forestry camp that went specifically through the Arbor Shore course that have gotten jobs in the tree care industry. And it's really neat to hear from them and hear what they're learning in the field and how the program, you know, how we could improve the program to better prepare them for jobs in the industry. And we're just waiting to, you know, hear from different institutions and what they might want to do. But also the success of the program has been able to get us grants. And so we received 2 grants just this year where we'll be able to not only get equipment that's going to help us better, you know, carry out some of the riparian forest buffer maintenance and some of the tree pruning that we're teaching the guys, but also one of the grants will focus on curriculum development and looking at, you know, creating standards to make these programs more applicable to not only other institutions, not other correctional institutions, but also to other prisons, you know, in other states. We're also going to look at, you know, prisons and jails within Pennsylvania and their land coverage. So which one of them, like I just mentioned previously, you know, which one of them has agriculture and farmland, which one has a lot of forested land. So then we can be able to reach out to those institutions and say, you know, this program would, you know, be relevant maybe to your institution. Can we pilot it here?
Wow. exciting stuff, Shay. Thanks so much for sharing.
It is.
It's just really amazing. And I really enjoyed watching the inmates interact with you and the other people from the Chesapeake Bay and people, and also DCNR. So thank you so much. Is there anything else that you wanted to talk about that we might have missed?
I did want to touch on, you know, not only has this been like so rewarding, I think, for us, as well as a lot of the, you know, inmates that participate in the program always are so grateful for the program, and they're so respectful of the instructors. They always, you know, it was so interesting to see, like, after every class, each one of the participants, like, will go up and shake the instructor's hand and thank them for their time. And I've received so many letters in the mail, you know, from participants of the program, pre-release and even post-release, that just are thanking, you know, the instructors again for their time and all the resources that they put into the program. And so I think that's been one of the most rewarding things of these programs. Like, it's exciting that we're expanding it and it's garnering all this interest. We're able to see a lot of the graduates, like, get jobs in the industry and make, you know, livable wages that can help get them out maybe of environments that they were in, you know, post or pre-incarceration. But I think one of the most neat things, like, one of the most exciting things about these programs is that it's so rewarding to see everybody, I guess, work together when trying to reach, like, environmental goals for Pennsylvania and build capacity within the state. Like, these programs are so, you know, multi-beneficial. We're getting people out into nature. We're helping meet a lot of Pennsylvania's environmental goals. We're providing employable skills to reentrants. But I think the instructors have even had, you know, gotten more from these programs than maybe the inmates have. So I've received so many emails from instructors that say, hey, are you doing this again next year? I really, you know, can you sign me up? And, or, you know, this was, a lot of people said this is some of the best experiences that they've had in their careers thus far and how rewarding it is. And so I think it's just neat to see for both, you know, not only the participants, but the instructors themselves, like, both audiences are learning something and taking back, you know, something from these programs.
And of course, the overall reward is a better environment.
Yes.
Yeah. Sure. That's so exciting. I want to thank you and everybody for your work in this area. And listeners, please don't forget, you can always learn more about the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections by visiting its website at www.cor.pa.gov. That concludes this episode of Lockup Lowdown. We'll see you next time.